The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hi, and welcome to another week of podcasting and broadcasting from the Grace Evangelical Society. This is Grace in Focus. On this episode, Steve Elkins and Bob Wilkin will say more about the rich entrance into Christ's kingdom. Will you have one? Looking some at 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11, and at the book of Hebrews. And we will see a contrast between two theological positions in Christendom. You stay tuned for that while I tell you about our website, faithalone.org, where you will find many resources, hundreds of articles about free grace theology and about theology in general. And you will also find information for the Grace Evangelical Society's National Conference 2023 coming up May 22nd through the 25th. And we want you to be there. Our general theme this year is Vital Free Grace Issues. And you'll hear discussions on topics such as, is assurance of salvation the essence of saving faith? And like, will those who never heard about Jesus get a second chance? Please go to our website, get all of the information, and get registered, faithalone.org. We'd love to see you there May the 22nd through the 25th. Now here is today's discussion with Steve Elkins and Bob Wilkin.
Steve, I thought we'd do a little bit more on 2 Peter 1, 5 to 11, and I think you had an interesting true life story about this passage.
Yeah, it's amazing. When we were in seminary, we took the Hebrews elective with Zane Hodges together, and there was a fellow in class that would just wear Zane Hodges out every day with questions because he came from a more Calvinistic perspective. Let me give you a little background on the guy. When we were first-year students, his name was Tom Llewellyn, and I noticed he was just a little sharper than the average first-year student. I had gone to visit one night at Eastfield Bible Chapel, Plymouth Brethren Group. Ed Pentecost was speaker there. But that night, we're first-year students, Tom Llewellyn was preaching.
Wow.
He gave an excellent talk. I think it was out of Psalm 127. I still remember much of his sermon today. And he seemed almost fluent in Hebrew, and we're first-year students who don't know Hebrew at all. But he was talking about how God gives to his beloved, even in his sleep. And he said, literally, and he quoted the Hebrew word, it's literally, he gives to his beloved sleep. And I just remember being so impressed. At any rate, now we're second- or third-year students. We're taking Hebrews with Hodges. He would ask these tough questions or make these hard comments because he had the Calvinistic perspective of the book of Hebrews.
Right.
Do you want to talk about that just a minute, Bob, how that's different?
The Calvinist basically looks at Hebrews as hypothetical. Most do. There's five warning passages in Hebrews, and they will say the readers are being warned of this, but the readers are born again because of what's said about them in Hebrews 6, 4, and 5. And so hypothetically, they might fall away, but in actuality, they won't.
Right.
Now, that's one Calvinist view. Another Calvinist view is there's a mixed audience, and some of them born again and some aren't. And the ones that are born again are ones who have been regenerated, but the others haven't. And so if they fall away, they'll prove they weren't regenerate, right? That's
right.
Another Calvinist view. But either way, whether they take the hypothetical view or the view that this is testing to see if you're really a believer or not, either way, they say these warnings concern the lake of fire.
Yeah, and it kind of becomes, with that interpretation, a little bit of a worthless book, because if it doesn't really apply to us, if we can't fall away, then it's kind of weird. Hodges had this great interpretation, though, that he's talking about the inheritance and the metakoi. And if we
metakoi means
one of
partners.
And one of his co-ruling companions that he introduces the book with.
In 1:9, starts there.
Right, and we have to, you know, endure to the end in order to be one of these companions. And so it's a tremendously motivating book. I dare say that people who study it carefully from this perspective, if it doesn't become their favorite book in the Bible, it may be number two behind John or something like that. It's just such a great, motivating, inspiring, rich book.
Right.
Well, at any rate, so we go on. In our senior year, you have senior theology, and Craig Glickman was our, for Tom and me, he was our professor. And so the nature of that course is the one who leads it, Dr. Ryrie, used to always lead senior theology.
Right. I had him for
but
that.
But he plays the devil's advocate. And he'll ask you a question, and he puts you on the stand, so to speak. Maybe you even have to stand up. He gives you tough questions. It's almost like a dissertation review or something where you have to defend your position. And so for some reason, Tom Llewellyn was assigned the warning passages and some other difficult passages in Hebrews, and Craig took Zane Hodges' perspective, and of course Tom Llewellyn's taking the Calvinistic perspective, and Craig, one of his great strengths is he's a wonderful debater.
Right.
And he just tore Tom up in class, I felt like. Years later, in fact, just about a year ago, I asked Craig, did Zane give him a heads up about Tom? Because, you know, it was as if you were prepared to roast him or something. Right. He said, absolutely not. That was just, you know, coincidence of how it worked out. Fast forward around the early 90s, it might have been 1990, 93 somewhere. I'm reading my Jot Guest, Journal of the Grace Evangelical Society, religiously, just the best journal ever.
Thank you.
It's awesome. And so I'm reading it, and there's an article by Tom Llewellyn. And it was from a Free Grace perspective. So I make a beeline to Hodges' office that day, and I said, is this the same Tom Llewellyn we had in class? And Zane kind of got a laugh and smile. He said, let me tell you the story. And he said Tom was in Grand Rapids or wherever it was that he lived, and he was preaching, a thoroughgoing Calvinist. But when he was going to preach through 2 Peter, he realized that Zane's position was more exegetically accurate and true with the terms that are in the chapter that we talked about last time. He was convinced that Zane's view was correct. Once he accepted that, all of his other arguments on the difficult passages fell like dominoes. And to my knowledge, Tom became a Free Grace fellow.
Right. Quick story. Tom was on the original board of Grace Evangelical Society. And I remember him telling this story. He said that what really got him is he was using the Greek text as he was preparing. And in verse 5, he saw that the verb epikorageo appears in the active voice. You need to add to your faith. And he said, verse 11 is the same verb, a rich entrance will be added to you or supplied to you. And he said, the Calvinist position is you will add these things to your faith because you are born again. So God's going to do this. He's going to add it. But what he said is, as he studied the passage to preach it, you can't take the view that your faith is going to give you this wrench entrance. You've got to add to get it. And he said, there's no way on earth this fits Calvinism. And so he became a Free Grace person. And he said he was aware of all these other passages because he'd been jousting with Hodges.
Well, the same thing's true with this passage right here. It becomes so rich if you have the Free Grace angle on it, or, and that the passage actually has of itself. The Calvinistic interpretation makes it a sleeper. Okay, sure, we're going to produce those things. Our faith is going to produce
it. Well, but in both cases, whether it's you're talking about Hebrews or this section in 2 Peter 1, it's not really boring or a sleeper for them. It's terrifying for them.
Absolutely, it's terrifying.
These are horror books. If you want to doubt your eternal destiny, if you want to think, maybe I'm going to spend eternity in the lake of fire, then read Hebrews from a Calvinist perspective. Read 2 Peter from a Calvinist perspective.
Exactly.
And in fact, read the whole Bible from a Calvinist perspective.
Well, back to your point here, and that's why we said last time, so many people departed from the faith in the Puritan days, but even today, because of the Calvinistic angle that they have on it, and make your calling and election sure. But we know it's about making your calling and election sure for the abundant entrance. Speaking of that, let me share a story with you. It was one of Zane Hodges' favorite stories.
Okay.
About a great scholar named William Kelly. William Kelly lived back in the early, mid-1800s, and he was the secretary to John Nelson Darby. In fact, today, the leading commentaries on the prophets or the book of Revelation always, almost without fail, mention William Kelly and his great contribution there. He was a tremendous scholar. Well, he lived in Ireland, and his chief interest, his main passion, was, quote, ministering to the few despised ones of Christ's flock, his little brethren assembly there in Ireland that he had. Well, one day some prestigious representatives from Oxford came to offer him a teaching position at Oxford. And they were absolutely shocked when he turned them down. And they said, what? Don't you want to make your mark in the world? And he said, yes, but which world?
I love that.
I do too. And I think that's emblematic maybe of what Peter's talking about in our passage. We should be living for this abundant entrance.
And by the way, that kind of illustrates Zane Hodges.
Yeah.
Zane Hodges viewed his teaching at Dallas Seminary as tent making. He viewed his main ministry as ministering at the small Hispanic Plymouth Brethren Assembly, Victor Street Bible Chapel. That was his main ministry in his mind. Remember when Zane finished the majority text with Art Farstead?
Right.
Van Bruggen was a PhD at a seminary in the Netherlands.
Right.
And he told Zane, our seminary, I'm highly confident, will give you a PhD for what you've already done with the majority right. text. All you'll have to do is probably come here for 6 months to a year, sit in on some classes, discuss things with the faculty. We'll call this your dissertation, yeah. and you'll defend it. And Zane turned him down.
Right.
He was like, I don't want a PhD.
Because he didn't need it. And also because of his conviction that, like in 1 John, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, and the idea of the arrogance sometimes of just having degrees posted beside your name is
right.
very enticing seduction, if you will.
This story about I'm living for the next life, that was Zane.
Absolutely.
Right? In fact, he left Dallas in 1986, and let's see, that would have made him 54. He didn't have to leave. They didn't fire right. him. He realized that what he was teaching was inconsistent with what most of the faculty were teaching.
Wow.
In fact, he was being criticized by other faculty members, and he went to the administration. He went to Dr. Campbell and Dr. Zook, I guess, who was the academic dean at the time, and said, I'm going to be leaving. And he told me later, he said, if they had said to me, no, we really want you to stay, we need your theology, you have a unique position, oh. he said, I would have stayed. But when they didn't, it confirmed to him his view that he was out of step, not with the doctrinal statement, but with the de facto position,
yeah.
which is what the other faculty were teaching.
Right. Paul says when he took his gospel to be confirmed, so to speak, by the elders at the Jerusalem church.
Galatians chapter 2.
Right. He said, James asked us, you know, who was the head of the elders at that time, James asked us only to remember the poor, which we were only too glad to do. And Zane's ministry, by and large, all of his life, since his college days, were with poor minorities. And you and I both know he would oftentimes mentor one-on-one, go to prisons even.
Oh, he did.
And minister to his friends there. He was an amazing guy.
All right. Stay tuned, everybody, and keep grace in focus.
The Zane Hodges Commentary on James, entitled The Epistle of James, Proven Character Through Testing, is available at discount to Grace in Focus listeners right now at faithalone.org. Get half price through April the 30th, 2023, when you use the discount code word James. That's faithalone.org. Did you miss an episode of Grace in Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition, we have all kinds of free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode of Grace in Focus, in faith, is there such thing as certainty, or should there always be some doubt? Join us next time for Grace in Focus. This is the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.